All right, welcome back to another episode of Green Box Gaming Plays Delta Green Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays. You join us here, right? You join me, Joe, and be handling. I'm joined by my good friends, Jean, Dace, and Brad.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I got a hello from all three of them this time. Excellent. Feel like we're all on the same page for once. It's about time. I'm sorry, Brad. You made a mouth like you were about to say something sideways. You got something?
Nope. I'm going to let you do the entire intro. I'm not going to speak.
We should just let Joe do the entire us.
We're just going to be very stoic and stare at you.
I could use some stoicism from you guys every now and then. That'd be a welcome change. I did have a question for you guys. We were just talking before we came live. I guess we were talking about like a few different, like the idea of there are pyramids in different parts of the world, aliens, you know, and like, so we have talked about before, I've asked you guys what your favorite conspiracy theory is. I don't think I've asked this though. What's your favorite hoax?
Climate change. Kidding. Kidding.
So Jean's personal Twitter account, you can find. It'll be linked in the description.
Audience members are flat earthers. We're just gonna get rid of all of everyone who listens to us.
This is how we get views.
But this conversation.
So vaccinations obviously are a big one.
Really changing audience, aren't we?
Yeah, just flip back and forth.
What is the... I don't know if you could call it a hoax. I guess it has to be proven it's a hoax to be a hoax. Right?
Well, okay, what do you have?
Mine is more a conspiracy. What is that picture of... Because I guess it hasn't been proven. The picture of the guy that, like... There's several pictures where it's, like... Looks like someone in modern-day clothes, but it's, like... In a very old photo.
Oh.
It's like a time traveler type thing.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Let me see if I can find like the hipster time traveler. But it's like
hipster time traveler. He's wearing
a fedora.
Like
we're not super familiar with what people wore back then, and this was actually something you could let me see if I can find.
But then somebody went and like doctored things up and created a whole lot of PR around this.
Oh, okay. It's not like someone wearing like a Nirvana t-shirt.
It kind of looks like it's like he has a cardigan and like glasses, and you wouldn't think like sunglasses would be around at this time, dressed by like how everyone else was dressed in the photo. But
they've had smoked glasses for a long time. Like literally, you took glasses and held them over a candle, and that darkened them.
Mm. Here, I'm gonna send the image to you.
What about you, Dace? You gotta get a good hoax, like something that's like just the.
The first thing I thought of was the Loch Ness Monster, and I can't think of anything else.
That's true.
Okay.
I think it was around Nevada Desert, just out of Las Vegas, and there was repeat sightings of aerial phenomenon, and they did a whole lot of very, very intelligent science about this, and as it turns out, it was a phenomenon of light. And you know how you see an oasis in a hot bedpan, in a hot bed,
like a mirage,
desert, like a mirage. So it was an inverse of a mirage off of a highway on the other side of the mountain, where the heat was kind of curving the light, and it made the light kind of bend upwards, which I think is
cool.
Fantastic. Good use of science.
Cool. Yeah.
Hard pan. Is that what you were going for?
Yes, maybe.
Okay. Now, that's a really good one. And it's like, well, when was that?
Pretty recently. Joe Scott does some good videos about this stuff. It's a better Joe than... He's actually the best Joe I know.
A superior Joe. Mm. Superior Joe product. Pasteurized Joe product. No, mine is a combo between, God, I wish I is the alien mummy bodies was a really good one. That's like in the last few years, right? That one was really funny.
Yeah,
because there's like a like there was like a government. There was like a South American government that presented these things to the world.
Yeah.
And it was like, did anyone pick this thing up and actually feel it? And like ask the question, like the idea that this was presented to the world very publicly, and that no one once said, hey, maybe we should have someone look at this first and tell us if it's papier-mâché or not. That was a good one. But there's another one very similar to that, which is super, super old, which is a, it's like a mer-baby. A
mermaid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, which is like, it's like made of like wire and stuff that like was a very similar hoax. But I think that's very much from like the era of like sideshows and stuff like that. Like someone made this thing and was charging people money to see how wacky and wild it was.
That was straight up Mexico that did that, Joe.
Was it?
Just the straight up Mexican government is what I'm reading.
It's just their government. You know, have you guys ever heard of James? My other one is, you guys heard of James Randi?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, big fan.
Oh man, James Randi, if you haven't seen it, like James Randi, he's this guy. So he was a magician, I think, but he was always very much like, magic's not real, they're illusions, you know, they're tricks of the eye, they're fancy, you know, fancy tricks. And he made, I don't know if he's still alive actually. He was older. Let me look at that. No, he died in 2020. No, what a shame. But he really went out of his way to like people who were like, no, I'm the real deal. I'm a real psychic. And I think that was his. There aren't a lot of magicians out there who are like, magic is real, but there are a lot of psychics who make money off people telling the future, reading their mind and all that stuff, and he really went out of his way to debunk them however he could.
So he'd remember to like psychics and then like act like he's a client.
I don't think he really did that. I don't think he really went there and like, I am a client, haha, gotcha. Like he would go there and be like, no, like he was very clear of what he was there to do, and they would still give it a go with him. Like that just shows you the balls of these people, and like that you can never admit, even when you're caught red-handed, you can never admit it's fake, right? There was this one particular case in which there was this big mega church guy in the United States who was like supposedly healing people, and what it was is he would like, oh, I've got a message for the Lord. Like I can hear who needs my help. And what it was is he had an earpiece, like a radio earpiece, and his wife was reading the prayer requests to him, and he was pretending that he was being inspired by God to it, like very scammy, like very twisted. Like that was a big one. There was a really funny one he did where he was, I think, in Russia or Ukraine, one or the other, like former Eastern Bloc. And there was these people who could read your mind or something based off of pictures of your family members. So he brought in a bunch of pictures of like famous American serial killers and like gave them to him. She's like, oh, and they're like, oh, these people are related to you. Oh, I can feel this man. He's very kind. You had a very, very close relationship with this man. And it's like Jeffrey Dahmer. It's like, excellent.
Very good.
And stuff like that. It's very good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, speaking of hoaxes, of course, you guys might need to create some hoaxes of your own here around the San Carlos Apache Reservation here in Arizona, 1991. You guys, our team, we have Jack, we have Bert, we have Thorn, freshly alone, now co-conspirators of a kind, with one of you kind of having this idea that something unnatural is going on. The two of you not really knowing what's up. But Jack, knowing there's something's going on, has been told, you need to look into this. We need to figure out what's going on. And then we'll let you know everything we know. We'll let you in. Six total people. four groups have gone missing here. You guys investigated. You have found one, Felix Royos. His body partially exhumed. You apparently being led to him, to his body. His body is currently at the crime lab. You should be getting that info back any moment. You guys found some surveillance tapes. You guys should also be getting that info back any moment. But in the meantime, your FBI Delta Green handler, Willikin, Bill Willikin, has died, attacked when he went out for cigarettes in the middle of the night. Attacked and killed, disposed of. You guys, I was listening back to these last two episodes, episodes 3 and 4, and I'm like, man, like this is some like real True Blue, like investigative episodes, like where you guys went out. Okay, well, we don't know exactly what happened. You went out and kind of looked into what happened to Willikin. You determined that he was attacked out at this alcohol and tobacco place. You say, okay, well, let's follow our other leech. You went to look after Leslie Sumter. Leslie Sumter, you went after her. You went to her house. You met her parents. I remember there's a particular line where Brad's like, okay, not the best home life. All right. That's which I thought was pretty good. I would be remiss if I didn't mention a masterstroke by Dace to even find out where Willikin had died, which is contacting his credit card company. Mm-hmm. We've got all of his info right here. I can pretend to be him all day. That's how you got to the tobacco store. You guys go out to Leslie Sumter's place. You find out she hangs out at the skate park. Older boy. You find the boy.
Ricky Bates.
Oh, yes, Ricky Bates. You take Ricky Bates. Another masterstroke by Dace. Ricky, your mother's been in a car accident. She's stable, but you need to come with us.
I was really on one last time. Yeah, huh? Yeah.
I thought it was great. Like, because the funny thing is, like, you're not cops, so you can't be like Ricky Bates. You need to come with us. Like, how?
But
do
we're
you
still
get...
human, Joe. We are human.
What? I don't know what you're talking about, man. I think you guys are doing great.
I'm making a joke that Dace is being our Bert. Is
oh, is as a lizard? Yeah,
yeah, is an immoral lizard person. Is how Dace is playing Bert.
You guys get out there. You find out that what happened is apparently Leslie's father knew of this abandoned place, this mine, Black Eagle Mine. It's hard to find, but Leslie's father worked there. Apparently, he was involved in some type of accident there. They had gone out there, and there was some guy, and he started shooting at them, and they ran, and they fucking left Leslie. They haven't seen her since. You guys go back, find the location of the mine, and that's where we left off. Jean, you mentioning the mirage, you know, in that particular case. We left off as the camera pulls out, and we see the heat mirage, just an absolute mirror of shine over the top of all these trailers at this trailer park as we zoom out from you guys last time. And that is where we're going to pick up. You guys are in the car heading out of this little trailer park in North Globe. So, what are we doing? What are we feeling?
Let me get some facts straight. And so, yeah. Globe is to the northeast.
Right. Northwest.
In front of, kind of going more towards the reservation pass where we're staying at the hotel. Now, we've got the exact... We know approximately where this mine was and which mine was it that
he worked at. It was the uranium mine, wasn't it?
Correct.
On Black Mount Eagle. Turnbull.
Correct.
It's called the Black Eagle Mine.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of also pairs... Well, you're telling me... Maybe you said that wasn't true, Joe, because there was a mine next to one of the campers. Which one of the... So we have... Three more groups of victims. I mean, two more besides Leslie Sumter. We have the Dieter and Vera.
Yep.
Van Olsen.
Dutch tourist.
And were they the ones that were camping, presumably? Or like.
No, that was Ed Stoles and Chris Martin. Car, Ed Stoles and Chris Martin, were at the campsite. They were fishing. Their car was never recovered. Dieter and Vera Van Olsen, their car was recovered. It was abandoned on the side of the highway.
Okay. And so the closest... I guess I'm saying all this to say, do you guys... What time is it now, Joe, in game?
It'll be in the afternoon. I would say it's probably decently. It's probably 3, 4 o'clock. You know, the amount of time it took you guys to grab up Ricky Bates and take him out there and interrogate, intimidate the shit out of him, bring him back, go back to the house a second time. Probably 3, 4 o'clock.
I almost want to suggest checking out this campsite briefly before it gets super dark, and then coming back in the morning and checking out the uranium mine, because I feel like that's going to be a whole thing. But what are y'all feeling?
Yeah, that works for me. Did we say we were on the way to a trailer park or coming back from one?
We just left because we...
Right now you're leaving, yeah.
Because we got okay. The story kind of from Sumter's parents that he worked at this mine, so now we know exactly where this uranium mine is that the... what was the kid's name we interrogated?
Ricky Bates.
That we know Ricky Bates went to, which is, this is where Leslie is. I don't know, what would make more sense? To go,
that's where somebody was shooting,
Leslie?
Right? Some guy started shooting and Ricky Bates
came out of the mine. Yeah.
Shooting, yep. Yeah. Which
they
we
got
think
there
was
and there was a
the...
car. Yeah, there was a car there when they got there, and yes, you guys had posited that it was a white guy in a denim jacket, which sounds pretty familiar.
Well, yeah, now that sounds kind of... If we're actually cared about this girl's life, maybe we would want to go directly
I don't think
towards
we would.
The uranium mine.
Yeah. You wouldn't go.
That makes sense to me.
Keep in mind, too, what... So it is currently August the 2nd, I believe, because you guys started yesterday on August the 1st. Keep in mind of our timeline of when she actually went missing.
It's August, and she went missing
27th of July. 20th. It has mm-hmm. been, it's been several days. I'm not telling you not to do something because of that. I'm just saying keep in mind our timeline of how long Leslie's been gone. It's one of the reasons why it's so troubling.
And Bert will be like, listen, fellas. In most cases, victims of abduction are dead in the first hour. So either she's dead or she's fine. There's no sense of urgency.
That's true, but we also have some guy in a jacket going around shooting people and potentially abducting them. So I'll grant you that on the missing person, but maybe we want to prevent more missing people. Wouldn't you say, Bert?
As your legal counsel, I can say that would be advisable.
Okay.
He kind of turns to Jack. He's like, Jack, aren't you so glad we have legal counsel with us?
Mm-hmm. My mind's at ease.
So you guys have a few options here. So you just need to let me know what you're doing, because you know Brad's right. Like there is, you have other leads. You have other missing people. You know, there's the campsite where the two guys were fishing and they went missing. You know that the Van Olsen's car is in the police impound. You can go check out. And also we are at a point where I'm going to tell you, you know, whether you guys, again, this is 91. You guys probably have, if there is information, you guys have been reached out to this early this morning by your new kind of handler guy from the FBI.
That's not really NDG, though.
Yeah, this is just, he's just FBI guy. This is a real FBI case, right? This is
your supposed to phone him at 10 o'clock, right?
In the morning, yeah. You guys are supposed to give him an update daily.
10 p.m. tomorrow phone call, I wrote down last time.
Oh, maybe it was in the evening.
Yeah.
But
no,
so,
we called him that morning, so let's just keep it at 10 a.m.
Okay. But yeah, fine. Patrick Hobson, you know, he had asked him this morning to get you the information on the crime lab as soon as possible. So you're waiting for videotape stuff, because Bert had sent that off to his offices to get the videotape enhanced. Mm-hmm. You're waiting for the coroner's report from Felix Royos. You have the campsite. You have the Van Olsen's car. You have this mine location. You have a few things you can go do, and if you want to do something completely off the cuff, I mean, you guys have a penchant for, you know, getting creative, so I'm ready to go.
Jack Thorne, if we are going to go to this uranium mine, what's our firepower situation looking like?
I was just thinking that. I mean, we're not... This isn't necessarily our specialty to go take down a fugitive like this. I have, and he holds out, I still have a Willett's pistol. He has the medium pistol.
I've got the small pistol someone, here.
You got his side shooter.
You have, like, a anything, small Bert?
Pistol. It's not really my forte, which is why I'm thinking it might be smart if we requisition some body armor before we take on this bedenimed lunatic.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. In all seriousness,
I don't feel. I talk people out of shooting me in the face. That's what I do for a living. If there's any risk of conflict, I would seriously try to de-escalate that, and if any of these options feels like we're headed towards something, we best be prepared. I mean, talk to Alejandros or maybe even Frank and get them to back us up if we're in any kind of situation. So, I don't know. Do you feel like we're in trouble here? Jack?
Well, I didn't sign up for that.
Nor did I. But there's something bigger going on here. I say we go with what Thorne says. We go look at the uranium mine. I mean, we have to try to save this girl if we see any evidence that she's around there. But if we get into something crazy, then we phone Colorados and ask for backup before proceeding.
Okay, so my question there is like, and this is not a, this is really good, and John, I like this, because this is like, you have the options to use to say, hey, like, we're going out to a scary place, we want the cops to come with us. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Are you going to go first, or are you going to have Colorados go out with you?
Jack? Yeah, Jack. You know, he's still trying to keep... He knows there's something going on that he's not supposed to let other people know about, so Jack would try to edge the team to go first, but in all seriousness, if it's, like, going to be a shootout, if it turns into a shootout, then he's going to definitely call Colorados.
I will say this, too, and this is... You guys are driving Willicott's car around.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, this
I guess
is
we
the
should
car
check the trunk.
You should probably check the trunk.
It's just there's dynamite and a bazooka. I pick up what you're putting down, Joe. Well, okay. So
yeah, so let's Thorne, check the trunk.
Thorne's definitely going to be like, look, Jack, if we're in trouble, I do not feel comfortable with our backup. We're not equipped for this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you're an academic, for God's sakes. I don't think you've ever shot a gun in your life. So,
as an academic, I do feel for the squirrel, and I
want
to try to save her if possible.
Yeah, but the best...
You know everything. I'm not hiding anything. You know everything I know. You know there might be a crazed lunatic here.
I'm going to humint on that.
Of what he says?
That he says there's nothing you don't know that I know.
Ah,
I succeeded.
Okay. Brad, are you trying to lie to Thorne?
I guess slightly.
Give me a persuade then.
let's lie to the negotiator. Let's do that.
What was your roll there, John?
Mine was 45 under 50.
Okay. Give me a persuade.
35 under 50.
The higher success takes it. So, Thorn?
You know what, Jack? I'm actually a little sick of this now. I think I've been quite explicit about what I do for a living, and you keep lying to me. That makes me think you carry on lying to me. We're gonna part ways soon, my friend. But Thorn, for now, I actually don't give a shit. Right now, I don't give a shit. Bert, I think we're gonna make a unilateral decision, and let's go do some more research, because that's what we're good at. Jack, you don't get a say today. You've broken my trust, my friend.
So you don't want to go to the mine?
Not if that's where you want to go. No.
Okay, I do not want to go to the mine.
Oh. I see your mind games as well, and we're not having any of it. To a fax machine.
Well, let's check the trunk and see if this changes anything. Who's driving?
Probably Thorn. I thought
Bert's driving. And he mid-drive jumps out the... opens the door and jumps out to check the trunk.
He does a combat roll out of the moving car.
Oh, shit! Yeah, we'll pull over and check the trunk.
Okay. You pull over, you know, whether you're at a gas station or whatever, you check the trunk, you pop the trunk, that there is a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun in the back, and a bulletproof vest.
Oh, wow.
There's probably some miscellaneous police stuff. Like, we're talking, like, there's, like, some road flares, some, like, little baggies for evidence, and stuff like that.
Is there a first aid kit?
All right, Jack.
Roll, okay. Yeah.
That would be probably the most helpful thing.
Joe, quick question. Firearms is for shotguns as well?
Yes, indeedy.
Okay, so
heavy weapons. 2300. Yes, there is a medical kit back there.
I'm just going to add that to my thing so we don't forget it.
Thorn goes over and picks up the shotgun like he's used it 100 times before. He like checks it, cocks it, loads it up. Like, all right, let's go.
On further reflection, I've done some deep inner diving, and firearms are actually my forte. I really think you better give that to me, Thorn.
No, I think I've got this. And he kind of... He's obviously used this before. He's quite good at it.
Maybe we could put the vest on Bert and he could go in front and we'll just be behind him with guns.
I'm not against that.
Well, here's the thing. You now have three weapons. So if Thorn insists on taking the shotgun, Thorn could give the small pistol to Bert. Yeah.
He kind of hands it over. He like unloads it, you know, takes out the one in the round. It's kind of like... gives it to him like a tiny little pistol next to the shotgun,
it's like,
looking
like
a
badass.
That
scene in Men in Black where Will Smith is handed the cricket.
The cricket. Yeah. Take this, Bert.
Okay, so Bert begrudgingly takes the pistol and stares at it uncomfortably long with dead shark eyes. And then he goes, "Thanks, Thorn. I really appreciate that, buddy." Yeah. And... you're not
Thorn,
sure
if you
what's
get,
going on.
If you get the shotgun, you're going to be in first, at head first. He hands Thorn the vest.
I won't argue with
that. If you want to be the point man, I think that makes more sense.
At this point, a woman pushing a baby in a stroller along the sidewalk walks past you guys, gives you a bit of an eyeball as you guys are putting on bulletproof vests and and handing firearms about.
Afternoon, ma'am.
You never be too careful.
Good day.
So, y'all want to go to the mine? Or does Thorn not want to?
No, okay. He's been put off. He's absolutely not going to the mine after you lied to him. All right. I'm glad we checked that. That was a good call, Jack. I will have to admit that was a good call. But we're going to go do some more research and... let's hope that with a little bit more information, we can all get on the same page, maybe. Jack, if that's your real name. Dorner.
Right then.
Okay.
Give Hobbs a call. I'm going to try to get us some more body armor. That just seems smart.
Okay, we need to get to a payphone, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, that won't take long. I will tell you, Bert, because your law is so high, like, you will know that it would be unusual to give weapons to civilians. Body armor, maybe, right? You could be like, there could be an argument made, you know, to like, oh, we're in this situation, we're investigating, we don't know what we're going to run into. You think weapons are probably a bridge too far. Not impossible. Okay. Very difficult.
Have automatic weapons been banned in the U.S. yet?
Oh, it's 91. This is Arizona, my friend.
We're good. Take it, that means we're good.
If you want to buy something, like, that doesn't mean you can just go to, like, it's not as easy as going to the gun store. Like, we have rules and roles and stuff to do if you want to find something. But you would be able to find something if that was your interest. But also keep in mind, will your characters default to, we need to go get loaded up with automatic weapons and go in here like a fully loaded SWAT team?
That's true. I definitely want to get body armor. That much I know.
Okay. So where are we heading right now? Where are we going to?
So does Thorn want to, like, us split up and then do the thing tomorrow?
No. It's not splitting us up. Thorn is pretty much taking the lead.
So you want
saying,
me to come going, with you to a library?
You're not getting out of my sight, Jack. Let's get to a library. Yes, we're going to a library. What of it?
Then what are we going to look up when we're at the library?
I've got a fax that I need to send.
Well, you had previously sent something off to get information on the Van Olsens.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So that would probably
I have
be coming
a fax
back,
I need to receive.
Yeah, that'd probably be coming back to the motel.
I meant the motel, the library of my mind. That's my sleep. That's what I call my bed. My sleep library.
It's where I keep all my dreams.
Well, maybe it would be best if we check it. I'm sure it's getting, like, dark around this time. It might be best if we're going to do some hiking to do it in the AM with fresh light. Especially if we're looking for tracks of someone.
Okay.
All right, we can go to the library.
Sleep library.
The motel.
You guys head back to the motel. When you get there, there are two messages waiting. There is one labeled for Bert, and there is one labeled for Thorn. Bert, your message reads, it's from your paralegal, who has let you know that that you can call one of your other... what was the name of all the people in your practice? In your law practice?
I can tell you. Bailey and Cooper are the other two partners. It's Bailey, Cooper, and Morris.
Yeah, so there's a note that basically says that Cooper has the information from what you had sent, right?
This is about the surveillance?
Yes, that they have the videotape info, you know, that they can send to you, right? With a phone number, you know where to get a hold of Cooper. So basically the surveillance enhancement, CSI style enhancement, has been done. They're to ask, and then he wants you to call him to figure out what to do next. Thorn, you get information on the Van Olsens. They are here on a tourist visa. Using the credit cards and stuff that they were able to run down and get information from the Dutch, their Dutch counterparts in the State Department, you find out that they apparently had reservations for both the San Carlos campsite. They had like a reservation to stay in one of the cabins there. And then the next day had reservations for several days at several different motels at the Grand Canyon. It appears that the Van Olsens were en route, are basically doing like a cross-country tour of the United States on their way to the Grand Canyon, and that they were passing through here, and we're going to stop at the campsite for the night here on the reservation at San Carlos.
Okay. Any indication of whether their government is finding this problematic?
Yes, their government is finding this problematic, especially given that Dieter is actually kind of a big uppy-up. Like, he's some type of, like, big-time business exec. And...
Oh, you didn't tell me he's rich.
Yes, he is... Ooh.
So, he all of a sudden matters to me now.
So in this time, there is a lot of back and forth about the oil fields up there in the Baltic Sea. So he is some type of big uppy up. And so this is like a very contentious place in U.S. Soviet, mm-hmm. or U.S.-Russian, sorry, Soviet, not anymore, but the U.S.-Russian interaction, right? It's the Baltic Sea is still a very complicated place with its oil reserves. Okay. Dieter is some type of uppy up in this, you know.
And so Vera?
The Dutch want to know. Well, she's his wife. You don't find anything terribly interesting about her. Seems that she might just be his wife.
Okay. He'll probably share that information with both of them. And maybe see Thorne, if Jack...
as your legal counsel, we absolutely must find Dieter.
At all cost.
At all cost. Now that he's an oil man.
It's imperative that we find the banker.
I think we need to find all of them. But, sure.
Yeah, but some matter more than most. We have to... Let me rephrase that. We have to prioritize. Yes.
I meant some are more valuable. I meant some make more money. I meant...
Some matter more to society than most.
Oh, some contribute more. I mean, Okay, there, cool. Actually, there is one more. There is one more also, which is to the team itself. And this is from the Arizona Crime Lab that states that there is a coroner's report at the crime lab in Globe. And, you know, that he will be there till 7 o'clock. And, you know, that you guys can come by and get it, either get a copy or come talk to the coroner. At your convenience.
And where is that?
It's here in Globe.
Yeah, in Globe. In so would that be under Frank Garrett's jurisdiction or under Alejandro's Colorado's?
Yeah, so this is where this is where this thing, yes. Frank's. Brad is right. This is Frank's jurisdiction.
What do you say? Should we check out this coroner's report before we turn it in for the night?
Give me just a moment. I need to make a short call to my colleague. It could be enlightening. Okay, then, once again, after staring for a little bit too long, it's almost like there's some sort of inner monologue going on in his head. And once he's done,
processing.
He's like, right. I'll go over to call Cooper.
Yeah, I imagine his inner monologue is him narrating his life in the third person.
100%.
It is the scene from the beginning of American Psycho where he's going through his morning routine. Like, it is that.
Always.
The phone picks up. You hear a scratchy, staticky voice. You know that Cooper actually has a cell phone. Like, he has one of those big, blocky cell phones. That, you know, has to run off of either a little backpack battery, like the little, like, you know, satchel battery, or plugs into his car. But, like, Cooper and Bailey both have these installed in their cars. Yes, this is Cooper. David Cooper, go ahead.
Cooper, we really have to talk about your quality, your cell phone quality. Have you thought about upgrading to a Nokia? Cutting edge technology, I hear.
Oh, Bert. Bert, it's so good to hear you. It's so good to hear you, Bert.
It's so good to talk to you,
so
Cooper.
So good.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Oh, as
always. Can't overstate it enough, Cooper.
Oh, and I appreciate your guidance on which provider to get. There's no one quite like you, Bert.
You really must stay on top of these things, Cooper. You really must.
Right as always, Bert. Bert, I got
so
Bert, I'm so excited to tell you about what I got from the video tapes. Okay, I'm in
character. I'm frothing in anticipation.
Bert, I got that video that you sent. What the hell are you doing in Arizona?
Oh, I'm not gonna lie, Cooper. Things are getting pretty deep over here. There's a case of 6 missing persons. They had to call in the big guns on this one.
You hear him finger gun back at you through the phone as well. Right you are, Bert. They've got the right guy. Real complicated.
So do you have anything for me, Cooper?
Yes, I do. So we were able to get the tape enhanced. I can tell you we have a much clearer view of this individual. Enough, I would say, that if you wanted, and I don't know exactly, you know, the FBI is obviously compensating our offices for this time. But, you know, it actually would benefit, I think, Bailey Cooper and Morris a lot if we could actually, what if we leaked this to the press and said that our office was helping the FBI? It would really help the prestige of our office under the guise of altruism.
That's what I love about you, Cooper. Always thinking.
Always thinking.
Never sleeps, eh?
1 hour increments.
It's genius. I love it.
If we do this, we might be able to get some info on who this man is. Again, the enhanced version of this, much, much clearer. He never directly faces the camera, but it might be enough.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking, Cooper. What if we chip in a little altruism and personally finance the reward for an anonymous tip?
God little damn it, Bert Morris, you've done it again.
Can
good will and max.
Can we roll to see if we are in earshot and overhearing this fucking terrible conversation?
No, do you think that Bert is just... are they just standing there? Are you trying to hide yourself?
No, he's like talking on the motel office phone. Like
at the front desk.
Yeah, he's like, give a shit. He's talking his lap, like top volume.
So in the background, I'm sure someone looks at Jack and it's like, Jack... I don't know if this is the best course of action. What are you thinking?
Bert, can I have a second with you?
1 second. I'm talking. Anyway, Cooper.
My only question, Morris, Bert Morris, is my only question, of course, is which news stations do you want me to release this to? Because in 1991, there aren't that many national news broadcasters. So, do you want me to do it there in Arizona? Like, there's probably a big Arizona state station. Do you want me to do it here locally, back here in New York?
I'm thinking we're going to benefit most from a local audience.
Okay, I'll...
Would you be a dear and get our girl Lucy to fax it over to the relevant news outlets?
They're in Arizona. I definitely can do that. It's, you know, Lucy needs to earn her pay after all.
Bert.
So Thor,
can I
Thorn
talk to you
background?
For just a second? Just 1 second.
Give me a goddamn second, Cooper.
God damn it, Bert.
Yeah.
In Thorne's mind, he is, like, actually okay with this. This is going to help get through the red tape. This is going to kind of get things out as quickly as possible. So he's going to take a step back from all this.
Yeah, Jack.
Bert, you like money, right? You love money, right?
I love nothing more.
Nothing more.
Wouldn't it make more sense? And just hear me out. If you do not put up a reward for this video that you haven't seen yet, and maybe we could find it together without you giving away that money.
That's a great
maybe
play.
We should watch the video first.
You gotta think about the long-term plan, Jack. There's more currency than just cold paper cash money. There's social currency. Bailey Cooper Bert. Morris could really stand to gain a lot from all this positive public attention.
Bert, do you not understand what's at stake here? We can't release this video to the public without trying first ourselves. We might have seen this guy.
Stares off into the distance for 10 seconds. What do you suggest, Jack? We just go dicks in our hands looking around for some guy in a denim jacket without any leads?
We haven't seen the video yet. We don't know what we could derive from the video. This man is more than just a man in a Dixon jacket. He's got facial features. He could have a tattoo, for God's sake, that we could see.
People don't have facial features?
Bert.
Are you some kind of psycho? You still there, Cooper?
So I can't.
You still with me?
I can't convince Bert, or I can't convince Brad. Can't convince Dace. So can I roll something to see if
yeah,
if
you can
Jack
do
could
you
convince
want.
Bert?
For the listeners, Joe is now actively crying. That got him.
Oh my god.
All right, Jack got a crit of levied on persuade.
Oh
my
wow.
god.
Okay.
Oh,
so
man.
What is that even defendable?
Days. Yeah, Days, I don't know, man. Like, you know, you need to make the call on this. You know, so
I'm not going to oppose or anything. I think he's got a point. But I'll just play it like all right, Jack. Cooper, one more request.
Of course.
And can we just work out a way for Cooper to get the video to us? I don't even know how you'd do that in 91.
Well, you overnighted like, what it to actually... him, you know? And so yeah, he'll probably okay. tell you, he's like, Bert, old buddy, I'm way ahead of you. I've already got it in the mail.
Damn it, Cooper, you're the best. You...
No,
are
Bert,
the best.
You're the best, and the moist, you're most the best. Moisturized, which is what I love most about you.
I can tell that your skin is radiating through the phone.
I could hear how perfect your pores are from here, all the way, even through this phone.
Okay,
I just want to play another psychopath with Dace all day. That's all I want to do.
Your facial features
Jack
are so
uniform.
Jack
hits the button on the phone. All right, that's enough of that, Bert.
Okay, I think that's enough.
I've heard
oh,
enough.
Man. Okay, because I've never laughed that hard in a recording before, Dace, take a joke in.
You know you're just encouraging this behavior, Joe.
Oh, God, you're right. I've basically given a dog a treat.
I forgot what that entire
you
conversation was
done.
About. After, what are you talking about? People don't have facial features.
What am I, a psycho?
You're a psycho.
Oh god. Ooh. Okay. Well, forgive me, everyone.
That was pretty.
Oh my god.
That was a really good roll, though, from Jack.
Electric Monad says, "I think you broke your handler." Oh god, I did. Thank you, Electric.
I think if Jack didn't get that roll on the persuade, that would have been a real problem in DG yep. land.
Okay, so. So you now know that this is inbound, and that apparently you can discern who this person's what this person's face looks like much better, which can be useful to you. I'll let you guys decide what you want to do with it. So we know that the autopsy report on Felix is available. We know this video is inbound, and that at the drop of a hat, it can be sent to news agencies and. Proliferated if you guys want to do that, you know. And
why
you know,
would we want to do that?
I'm just saying, like you have access to it, you could release it out. This keep in mind, Brad, this is a real investigation.
Yeah.
This is a real FBI investigation. So mm-hmm. you do what you want to do.
There is a statistic that I was reading the other day, and astonishing amount of cases are solved by anonymous tips. Hmm. So there actually is some merit to it.
Okay. Well, I think Jack's trying to balance what Wilkett told him, or now Mr. Green.
Yeah. Or even once you get his face, you could canvass locally. You know, it's not like what Brad said or what Jack said is not crazy. Like, you could get his picture and show it to people around and be like, have you seen this man? That kind of thing. It is possible.
All right.
But we definitely want to see the coroner tonight, right?
I think Jack's debating whether he wants to put his gun to his forehead right now.
Okay, so that was very strange, but I like how you are. I like your thinking, believe it or not, Bert. I think that's really good. You'll be surprised. There's a phenomenal amount of cases that are solved by anonymous tips in this country.
Did you hear that from Thorn? Sounds like a real nugget of wisdom.
I have wisdom. But
can I just say your face is looking very symmetrical today?
Very moisturized.
I'm not sure you've ever seen a face in your life, Bert. Regardless,
describe his face for me, Bert. One description.
You don't have to do that.
No, I want to hear it. I want to hear him say it. What does his face look like, Bert?
And then Bert stares at Thorne's face and then looks down at his clothes and say, cheap.
You guys go to the coroner's office.
I'm going to say this one more time, Bert.
Okay.
Please, try to get 2 hours of sleep tonight. Just two.
Like it's going to fix him.
Okay, quickly. Jack, so we're at the same hotel that the handler got killed in, right?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking about going to another hotel, though, Jack.
Yeah, so Thorne's going to broach this topic to be like, this. I don't know if we should really be staying here if somebody died last night, and if we're not sure of the cause of that death. Don't we know?
He was attacked, is what you were told.
I just think y'all know he was attacked.
Oh, shit, okay. Then I guess he'll query Jack. Jack, but do you think it's actually safe for us to be here tonight? Somebody got attacked?
Well, he got attacked at the liquor store.
Correct.
And it sounds like he drove here to get away, so I don't think the guy actually
knows.
Weren't
we super suspicious about the people coming into the hotel and the cleanup crew and everything? Am I misremembering? Am I on the wrong side.
You never witnessed the cleanup crew.
Okay, all right.
Bert did.
Never mind then. I withdraw all my questions. I'm perfectly fine sleeping in my sleep library tonight.
I think you should bunk up with Bert in the same bed.
Oh, no, thank you very much, Jack.
Sleeps with
his
eyes open.
I'm going to roll a persuade to see if I can make you do it.
No. All right, let's get to the coroner's office.
All right.
Before it gets dark.
Yeah, so you guys head over to the coroner's office. You probably get there right around 6, right?
You see in the rearview mirror, Thorne kind of like analyzing his face, trying to be like, cheap? He kind of like looks in the mirror, cheap? Jesus.
You guys get to the coroner's office, you tell them who you are, you know, they're like, Fred's waiting for you. Let's see here. So the coroner is Fred Smith, and Fred Smith is the county coroner, or like medical examiner, but he's basically working here as well as like their the crime lab. They don't really have like a dedicated crime lab person, so they use like the local coroner, right? You get there and they kind of take you back to the office, and he's there, and you can tell he's at the end of his day. He's like filling out paperwork. Oh, a gentleman jumps up. Fred Smith, coroner. Good to meet you. You know, he shakes everybody's hands. He's like, oh, so you're the FBI? Who? One of you is an agent? Is that right? Or
that'll be me. Good to meet you, Fred. Bit of a pickle. we're in at the moment, so we're hoping you can help us out with that report that you may have been sent a little...
Yeah. Got it right here. He picks it up and hands you, like, I already made you a copy, and he hands it over. He's like, you want
to
come look at this?
What happened to that poor guy? Sure.
He's like, I'll show you.
That'll help. Let's do it.
Yeah. You go in. He brings you. He's like, anybody got a weak stomach? You guys ever seen a dead body? Kids want to see a dead body? Like,
well,
I plead the fifth.
As you like, snap on the gloves.
And Jack, is he fine?
He's a bit nervous. He says, I haven't really, but I feel like we should see it.
Okay. Yeah, come on in here. Here we go. And he takes you through, like, those big, like, you know, the big double doors that don't really close. They just, like, flap, you know, like, he takes you through there, and there's two examination tables, and one of them has this man on it who's covered up to his neck, this face that you recognize as Felix Rojos. Because here we go. He's like, I'm gonna pull this. He's like, I've already got him opened up here. And he, without much pomp and circumstance, he just pulls back he pulls it back. And you can see that Felix has been cut open in a medical manner by the coroner. Like, he was, when you guys saw him being exhumed, he did not have any obvious injuries, right? Mm. He's like, okay, so check this out. And you can see that he has been split in that Y shape down his collarbones and then down the middle. And the skin and musculature has been pulled back, and that his rib cage is sitting there, but the ribs have been cut, but the rib cage has been set back there. He's like, you want to see something wild?
Go for it.
He reaches down, and again, like, the rib cage is just sitting there, and he pulls the detached bit of the rib cage out, like, by the sternum. And inside, you see what is pretty obviously Felix Royos' heart, but no lungs. He's like, I did not remove those.
What do you mean you didn't remove those?
Supposed to be two lungs in there, traditionally. Maybe Mr. Royos here just isn't a very traditional guy. Or something happened to his lungs.
That makes no sense. Sir. Was there any other coroner who did this work?
No, they brought him in here and I did these cuts myself. He's like, it's in the report. I mean, he's like, also, he's like, look at this guy. He's like, look at the flesh. He's like, look at the heart itself. And he's like, now you guys might not know this. He's like, this heart should be the heart and the rest of the musculature should be suffused with blood. This guy has probably a few drops in him at most. He's been drained dry. And check this out. And he pulls up a magnifying glass. He's like, look closely right here around his neck, right? Around the neck. And there's like one down here on the collarbone too. These tiny, tiny, tiny little incisions where something went in and actually went all the way down to his fucking aorta, right? I think he was drained by some type of crazy professional. I have never seen anything like this. This work is immaculate. And if they were able to remove his lungs without cutting him open, like, I've heard of them doing this with mummies, right? Like, pulling out their brains, their noses, and stuff like that. I have never seen anything like this.
Can you, do you have a idea of when this might have been done? How long has his body been sitting in the desert?
How long has it been sitting in the desert? Actually, I do have that. I can tell you, he's like, oh yeah, time of death. It looks like he died the night he went missing.
And Felix is the guy that was in the camera. I mean, in the convenience store.
Yes, he's the one in the convenience store. I think that he probably died late of the night of the 21st or early morning the 22nd. He died. these wounds you can see here, even the removal of the lung tissue and the part of the larynx that went with it, this was post-mortem. So, but again, how it happened, the only way I can imagine it happened is that somehow someone was able to remove his lungs through his throat.
Can I do a... So, I mean, can I do a history roll to see... I mean, he obviously kind of tipped us off that this has been done, like, historically in mummies. Can I roll his to see if there's any other civilization I've heard of, like, specifically lung removal like this? Or what would I roll... That's just what my mom went to.
Yeah, give me a history. Let's see if you can get anything really, really wild.
Success, 41 under 60.
You think about how, you know, the Aztecs were legendary for removing still beating hearts, but that was typically done through a large incision at the bottom of the rib cage. I mean, there are ritual, you know, the Vikings would do this thing called blood eagling, where they would remove someone's lungs through large incisions in their back, while they were still alive, right?
Yeah.
And things like that. Like, so this is, there are ways, but what he's saying is, like, you know, this was somehow removed without really cutting Felix, which is insane. And like, and he's like, look, he's like, and everything about this guy, he is bone dry and not stuck in the desert for a few days, bone dry. His blood is gone.
Bert looks as if he's in the middle of a reverie, and he slowly wipes away a tear, and he says, "My God, it's beautiful, isn't it?" And he looks over
and
at the corner.
This guy, Frederick Smith, he meets your gaze. He's like, yeah. Like, you, like, he's like, you know, he has like an appreciation for this and how crazy it's like. He's like, these tiny, tiny wounds. I mean, whatever was fed in here, you know, some type of IV tube or surgical instrument to get in here and drain the blood. I mean, this is not... Whoever you're dealing with, this is not their first rodeo, let me tell you. Like, this is...
Far from it.
Far, far from it, I would go. I mean, and I, with the fact that we have these other people missing, we might have a truly prolific serial killer on our hands here. I mean, this is just one guy, but... This,
listen,
again, this,
Fred, hold your horses. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. Don't just let us do the analysis. You've done your analysis. I don't know. I get the sense that you're very good at your job, but even I make mistakes. And this seems a little bit weird. I don't know. We're going to look into it a little bit more, make sure there was no tampering, but it seems a bit odd, don't you think?
Well, yeah, it's very odd.
All right. Well... The likelihood, I've done a bit of stats. Like, there are two things that I know here, Fred. One is that usually a whole lot of anonymous tips tend to solve most of the cases in America.
Oh, yeah, everybody knows that.
And number two, it's that the likelihood of two weird things happening in the same region in the same night, very, very slim. So hold your horses on that narrative, buddy, you know?
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to, you know, I've got you guys a copy... You know, I'm on a, you know, Major Garrett once wanted a copy too. So, I mean, like, you know, hopefully this will give you everything you need, you know, to play all the same sheet of music here. I hope you find these people. I mean, if this guy does this to anybody else, I mean, this is pretty wild.
We appreciate your work, Fred.
Yeah, yeah.
Men, any questions for the man before we head out?
Jack's trying to keep his lunch down.
Yeah.
I do have one question, but I don't really know how to phrase it. I'm curious, like, where the lungs meet the body, that wound, is it like a clean cut? Is it where the lungs are ripped out?
He's saying it's just like bronchi. Two pencil holes.
Well, he has holes. Okay, so if you ask that question, he says, okay, so there are some small incisions, and I believe this is where the access to the bloodstream was made, and the blood was drained out. Here, 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 and here. There's like three or four tiny incisions. They're like in the like neck and like upper chest, like around the clavicle. And it's like, you know, and then something, some instrument was fed in to... into the larger vessels and the larger arteries to pull out the blood. He says, the lungs appear, and he opens up and he shines a light up in there. He's like, here, you see the end of where the larynx comes down? So this is where the larynx bifurcates out into the two lungs. Look how jagged that is. I think you're on, like, you're right. Like, that is like, that's like torn out. Like the precision with how these drainage holes were done. Like, these incisions appear so tiny, so small. But then this here is again, this is what makes me think it was almost like torn out. But you would have to, what, I have never seen an instrument that could feed down and tear the lungs out from the inside. That is insane.
Curiouser and curiouser. This truly is some kind of wonderland, isn't it, Doc?
Yeah. You know, usually people don't understand why I get so into this. You know, I'm glad, you know. See, the FBI's got some real straight shooters out there. Great.
Oh, the sky.
Bert Morris, pleasure to meet you. I'm not going to do that again.
To be clear, Fred, this guy is not part of the FBI. He is an attaché. We're going to be on our way now, but thank you so much for your help.
Yeah, I hope.
Do you mind if we give you a call at any point if we see anything strange and just pick your brain, so to speak?
Yeah, sure. I give you my pager number. I have a pager.
We'll see you later.
Jack, cool. But we'll take one glance and I just want to do a forensic to see if there's anything I could derive that he didn't see.
Okay, give me a shout.
38 under 42.
Okay. You're going to try to poke around on the body a bit yourself, or are you just like...
Yeah, I would say like Jack would try to bring it together, give it one last glance before leaving.
Okay, you were looking around on the body, you know, and maybe he's over there talking to Bert, and you kind of look and you find as well, maybe you like tilt his head to the side a little bit, and you find that on the back of his neck, you also find a little bit smaller than these incisions he's talking about on the neck and chest. There's another small incision just behind the left ear. This one almost looks like a needle, like a needle wound, like a puncture. Like, not even like as large as like a little slit cut, but just like something went straight in. And that's curious to you that he didn't mention it, you know, or he didn't notice it, or he didn't mention it. One or the other. You don't know.
Doc, did you see this? Is this anything significant?
He'll pick up that magnifying glass. He's like, oh, interesting. Interesting, interesting. He's like, I did notice. He says, so the thing is like, he's like, this is fascinating. And he'll look at it real quick. And so Royos also, you can tell Royos's brain case has been cut open, and that his top of his head has been sat back on top of his like the top of his skull has been cut and set back, right? Mm. He says, you know, I did notice there was some light hemorrhaging in this brain tissue. I didn't know if he'd been struck or something, but this puncture, this actually looks like something might have gone. And he opens the brain case, and you see the brain is sitting sitting on a counter, like on the counter in like a bag or something, right? He's like, there's a small, he's like, look at this here. There's something, a small, small spot where something entered, was forced through with a thin skull behind the ear into the actual brain cavity. Fascinating, but no damage to the brain. Very precise. Very, very precise to put something in and not actually hit the brain.
What area of the brain was it pointing towards? Or you're saying it didn't, whatever was put in didn't hit the brain?
Well, that would be right at the motor cortex.
Which Jack assumes just does...
Well, if you give him a blank look... Yeah, the blank look, he's like, it controls movement.
Yeah.
I think I've seen enough.
Nice work, Jack. Really great job.
Yeah.
I can admit, listen, if you wait a minute, I'll amend that report and add that in. This is fascinating. Man, I'm glad they sent you guys.
Seems like a good idea. We should get the report straight. It would have been ideal, Fred, like I mentioned, that you didn't overlook something or make mistakes. And this is why we have to have a little bit of skepticism about our theories and maybe keep it until all the facts are on the page. And he kind of hands Fred a pencil.
So,
are you attempting to be a D-bag here?
Just a little bit. He really respects professionalism and professional excellence, and this guy's not shown at having missed something.
You need to roll me a charisma. I need to know how this comes off.
Jack will, like, whisper to...
Success.
Success. And he'll whisper in Thor's ear, I think it would be ideal if we got the... Frank's... Major Frank Garrett's report and handed it to him ourselves. End quotes.
Yeah, so Thorne, this guy does not seem to be insulted by you. He's like, you know what, you're right. I should have caught that. That's my bad.
And then while Jack whispers in his ear, I don't know if he'd buy that. I'd say Brad's gotta try and convince me. It seems underhand. I'm not Jack's friend at the moment.
Success and persuade.
All right, he'll go along with it.
Here, let me just pencil this in on the back side here, and I'll give you Major Garrett's report as well. Here you go. And he puts them in two manila folders and hands them to you. He's like, that's wild.
Fred, one more question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you do all your reports in pencil?
No, I just penciled in this amendment on the back end. It's 91.
I'm with you.
Even my machine over here is not the best, you know. I don't even know if he would have a machine. He would probably have a typewriter. He'd probably have an electric typewriter, because this is a government organization, 91. They're not
just official documentation made in pencil. seems unprofessional.
He doesn't pen.
He hands him a pencil and sees if Fred fucks up again.
He goes, huh? Pen only. And writes it in pen. Okay, well, listen, guys. He checks his watch. He's like, oh, listen, the missus is already going to be mad at me. I got to get out of here. Listen, guys, he, like, puts Royos' top of his head back, places the rib cage back over his chest, pulls the curtain back up. He does that thing where, like, the table he's on is also, like, a rolling table, and he takes him and puts him in a big cooler on the wall, you know, as you guys are there. He's like, listen, guys, this has been a real gas, but, you know, I hope you don't mind me saying, I hope I don't have to see you again. You know what I'm saying? I hope we don't have another one of these.
I hear you.
Us as well, Fred.
We all hope we don't have more bodies on our hands. See ya.
You guys peace out. So you now have two copies of this report. Interesting. And one of you lied about being an FBI agent.
Well, I said I was FBI critical incident negotiation team. I didn't say that, but I said I was part of FBI. Previous occupation.
One of us bent the truth today.
Just a little.
It's truth benders.
Lucky we don't keep track of karma in this game. Because otherwise,
Okay, well, you guys walk out. You've got these two folders. One which is officially yours. One which is supposed to go to Major Garrett. We'll see how that works out. But guys, I think that's probably a good place for us to stop here. We've uncovered a little bit more. We've got some good leads. I'm interested to see where things go next.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yep. We're in the thick of it.
I can tell that Dace's wheels are turning. Like, big time.
I mean, you know, it's a chupacabra or some shit like that, but Bert can't jump to that conclusion.
They're not just sucking goats anymore.
It's like a chupacabra with a lab vest on, white coat,
and a long proboscis.
It's Dr. Proboscis.
Dr. Chupacabra? I didn't go to med school for 8 years just to be called Mr. Chupacabra.
Mr. Chupacabra.
If this was like a Hardy Boys mystery, this would be
that's
the mystery of Dr. Chupacabra.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you for joining us live, Electric. I don't know what Electric said you to. I don't know if that was the autopsy scene or not. But whatever it was. But listen, thank you guys for joining us live. If you're with us live, stay tuned. We are going to take a break. I'm going to come back. If you are listening later, thank you as always. Consider supporting us on Patreon. It just costs $3. You buy us a cup of coffee. It keeps us going. You get everything a week earlier. You get Sandy Check. And a Sandy Check, I'm really looking forward to Sandy Check today. Because I really want to hear the theories outside of Chupacabra, which we've already obviously discussed. So,
great job, Joe. Especially with
well done.
That was
handling
fan
everybody that's doing something different.
Phenomenal
crew.
I have never had more fun than playing the other psychopath lawyer.
People always wonder why I play psychopaths. It's because it's fun. It's just fun.
Oh, Electric said that the U was for the gratuitous discussion of skincare and the use of the word moist. Okay.
That tracks.
Yeah, the coroner's stuff was less gross than that.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's nothing. All right, everyone listening and watching, thank you again. We will catch you next time. And remember, as always, stay safe, stay sane. Bye.